What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the EG3 Show. You all know what time it is. The garage is officially open once again for another episode of the EG3 Show NASCAR podcast. We are all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. My name is Eddie Greer III, host of the EG3 Show, Cable World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And tonight is Race to the Playoffs edition of the podcast. We'll focus on one of the drivers who is fighting to stay in the mix in the playoffs, if you will. And I got some extra news coming out of Roush Fenway Racing. Let's just jump right on the business. We got Father's Day weekend around the corner this weekend, and the Cup Series is off this weekend, but there is not exactly no racing going on. There will be racing happening on the other side of Kansas. Yes, I live, for those of you who don't know, I'm located in the middle of the state of Kansas, Manhattan, Kansas, little, aka Little Apple, but just 4 or 5 hours away from me, we got activity at Iowa Speedway coming up this weekend with the Trucks and Xfinity Series Double Dip coming at you this weekend. Definitely excited to see what's going to happen over there. Of course, the Cup Series is off due to Father's Day as well, but we're going to have racing on Father's Day because, yes, Iowa is scheduled on that. Usually, Michigan is the site of Father's Day activity, but not this year. With the change of schedule, Iowa Speedway will have the Xfinity Series action on Sunday afternoon. Doubleheader, of course, the Cup Series returns to action next weekend in California. I have a little bit something on California at the end of tonight's episode of the EG3 Show podcast. But yes, today I started last week mini-series, if you will, and I'm going to continue to do this all the way up until the finale at Indianapolis Race to the Playoffs, where I'm going to be talking about one driver and what he has been doing in this season, and also going back a little bit to his stats and all that good, nice jazz. But tonight, yes, and you guys might not be too happy. Yes, we're going to stay on that Stuart Haas train, if you will. Yes, Stuart Haas racing again, putting it down last week. Clint Bowyer and Mike Bogorapich knocking out the strategy call, while pretty much 98% of the field did not ace the call. Bogorapich was correct, at least for last weekend, with all that rain in the Michigan area, and Clint Bowyer scoring his second win of the year. But let's talk about the other guy who finished in the third spot. Yes, that would be the person, the 41 car of Kurt Busch. Yes, Kurt Busch. Yes, the brother, his brother Kyle. We all know Kyle Busch. But yes, Kurt Busch, the 2017 Daytona 500 champion, and he's earned a berth in the playoffs for the last, really, 4 consecutive years, looking to make it 5. This has to go all the way back to 2014 when he made his debut for Stuart Haas in that 41. And, of course, he's had a new crew chief up top of that pit box. Last several years, he's had Tony Gibson up on that pit box. But this year, Billy Scott's on there. And I actually, when this, the pairing was announced, crew chief and driver pairing announced, we're announced, man, I cannot get talk already tonight, but when that pairing was announced between him and Scott, I was a little questionable to why you're going to put Billy Scott, who has not had that much success in the Cup Series. Yes, he started out with Michael Waltrip Racing as one of the engineers for the 55 Aaron's Dream Machine car, but just watching, well, slightly watching his progress a little bit. You know, he had his adventures, obviously, with Danica Patrick last year, and that was a failed experiment there. And now, Billy Scott now with Kurt Busch, these guys seem to be gelling quite well here at this point of the year, and Kurt Busch has been one of the more consistent drivers in this league right now, putting down top 10 of the top 10. You know, we can talk about Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer, and even Eric Almirola in the mix, but I think the nut in the shell has to be Kurt Busch. Even I said a few weeks ago that Eric Almirola would be the next guy to win at Stuart Haas Racing because of the speed that he's bringing out. It's just not one car. Let's not face it, Kevin Harvick, and I've had this discussion plenty of times. The organization as a whole continues to whip out fast cars. It's just not even one car. It's the whole entire process. And it has to go back to last year, obviously, with the new manufacturer trying to find an edge, trying to work out the kinks to it, so when they get to the racetrack, they can have that momentum to race each and every week to unload fast. And this year, it has been the year of the Stuart Haas Racing Clan. Gene Haas, Tony Stewart, we can't say enough. Pretty much all of the NASCAR world can't say enough about the entire organization. And what's interesting to me, I've switched kind of podcasts a little bit here because NASCAR on NBC, NBCSN, is getting ready to hear another week and a quarter or so take over after Sonoma, take over the NASCAR races from here on out. And Steve Letarte mentioned something that kind of lit an eyeball. You know, Kevin Harvick has all this speed, but when you look at, even with Clint Bowyer winning the other day, you know, Bowyer, Almirola, Kurt Busch, there are a tick off behind. And you wonder, you know, Harvick has all this speed, you know, why, you know, Bowyer, Kurt, and Almirola, he didn't say it in that way, but he was kind of calling out Clint still. You know, even he still won the race, but Clint Bowyer was strong throughout last weekend there, and he put himself in the right position to win the race. Mike Bukaravich made the call of the race to go two tires there when everybody else pretty much did not, was falling asleep on the wheel pretty much. You know, with the weather in the area, you had to, again, I talked about this on the post-race episode. If you have not listened to it, go ahead, listen to it this weekend. Listen to it whenever you can. Bukaravich made the call, and all the crew chiefs have to have at least radars out there. I don't know what they're looking at precisely, but Bowyer again won that race with speed, and then putting yourself in that kind of position where you have a nice handling, good handling race car, go two tires and make the call. So, and then behind him, Kurt Busch, during his press conference. After Michigan, said that he was lurking, kind of lurking in the weeds and hoping that his teammates would go together. But it goes without saying, though, Stuart Haas Racing, and I thought they did this earlier this year at Atlanta or some other track as well, but they've been so strong as a whole, it's been kind of hard to keep up. EG3 Show Race to the Playoffs continue here with Kurt Busch. Last episode was focused on Brad Keselowski. Tonight, we focus on Kurt Busch, the 41 Haas Animation Monster Ford for Tony Stewart, Gene Haas, Stuart Haas Racing. Kurt Busch was right there in the mix. And oh, by the way, Kurt Busch won the pole last weekend for this race. Over 203 plus at Michigan turned by Kurt Busch. He knows how to put a lap down, but the problem was, you know, how the question was going in, can he put a full race together? And he pretty much did that. He led a few laps there at Michigan there. So, and right now, when you take a look at the standings where that 41 car is, it stands right now, at least in a regular season, it's third right now, but seventh overall in the quote-unquote driver standings right now, 171 back of his brother Kyle Busch. He's put down 3 top fives, 8 top 10 finishes, including down here 2 DNFs. He's led a total of 263 laps, add on with a pair of stage wins along with that. So current budget definitely, and with the tracks coming up, obviously, in the past we've seen them run good at Sonoma. We'll be going back to Pocono, and we're going to be going back to Michigan, obviously. Watkins Glen has been a good track as well. But when you take a look here at the best finish of the year, it's obviously, well, it was Michigan, but best finish of the year had to come at Talladega, where he finished, started second and finished second to Joey Logano at Talladega there, where Kurt Busch was also one of the pounce there at towards the end, with all those Fords in the mix there. And Kurt Busch rolled out his plan and eventually had nothing there for Joey Logano there. But the Fords in whole really owned that racetrack last week. Obviously, it's in their backyard, them and Chevy, with Toyota the enemy. And Ford, they were not, especially Stuart Haas Racer, were not about to let somebody else take over that. But really, it's been a whole year. You know, we talk about Fords on the plate tracks and how strong they have been for the last 3 or 4 years. And now you're taking, when you take out Stuart Haas Racing, what they have accomplished, really going back to the start of the playoffs for me last year, they have been on the money. And wouldn't be surprised to see Kurt Busch in victory lane at some point, you know, with Bowyer, Harvick, Truex, Kyle Busch, Logano already. I might have missed somebody, but those guys that are racking up, most of them, except for Logano, have racked up double-digit wins already. It feels kind of wide open. That's why, you know, I was surprised also that nobody else, especially with all the gambling that we saw early in the race with Kasey Kahne, most specifically, Bubba Wallace tried to do it. Paul Menard was the most successful at it. Greg Earn, and that organization from Wood Brothers, making a move there and keeping that car in the top five right there. The Fords right now are on top of the game. We saw last year Toyotas owned the second half of the regular season, and they definitely owned the playoffs there. Obviously, with shutting out Chevy in the process, they didn't get a win at all. Chevy, and we know Chevy's problems here in 2018 for sure. So, Ford as a whole, I mean, Stuart Haas Racing is really have their A game. They bring their A game each and every week. It'll be interesting to see what happens when the Cup Series returns to Sonoma, where aerodynamics really at this track, the road course at Sonoma, some 11-turn racetrack, don't really incur our aerodynamics of the car. Yes, you want to be fast right out of the gate, but it's the driver. And that's what's so interesting about the Cup Series in this sport, you know. Brad Keselowski, and I'll most likely talk about more about this in my final episode before I go on vacation when I record it tomorrow night. Keselowski saying, you know, we don't want plates on our race cars, pretty much summarizing what he said. We don't want plate racing every week. And, you know, for me, when we saw the package at the All-Star Race, I'm like, man, we need to incorporate. I was like, okay, you know, we need to see this a little more. But yeah, I wasn't one of those guys that we need to see it everywhere. Cause yeah, I mean, we see it plate racing four times a year, and that's enough plate racing for me with all the, you know, togetherness of the packs and whatnot, and creating a big one and taking big names out of the equation. And we had that every week, you know. That'll be that's a lottery in itself because of the fact that is, you know, it's supposed to bring the guys, the drivers a lot closer and this and that. Sorry, I'm going off a little tangent off the tracks here, but, you know, plate racing in itself, you know, Daytona, Talladega, you know, I love plate racing. Yes, plate racing is definitely exciting, and yes, I love plate racing, but yeah, we don't need to see that each and every week. You know, these are different tracks. You know, plate racing, plates on cars, obviously not going to make a whole lot of difference on road courses, you know, and all that other stuff like that. And somebody mentioned we need to bring the plates to Kansas and whatnot. You leave the plates alone. You, we don't, we don't, we, you know, that's probably me being biased because that's my home track over there, living out here in the middle of the United States, going out to Kansas for several years now, and seeing, especially over the last several years, of what we saw, especially back in that sprint race there, what we saw. We don't need to bring in plate racing. We don't need to see that at Kansas. We don't need to see it. So at some tracks, yeah, like I said on the podcast, I'll say it again, like Pocono, maybe Michigan. I mean, to me, it didn't really make a whole lot of difference at Michigan because we saw a little bit more tighter racing than we did at Pocono. Pocono, it was strung out like normal cars. It was boring to see Kyle Busch out front and all that other stuff like that. But so, I mean, yeah, they probably need to work on a few other things like that. But definitely, like I said it on a podcast before, maybe recently, that this plate package need to stay away from the cars during the playoffs. We don't need to be seeing that. We want to see drivers man on man, man up, and get after it like we usually do. And all this talk about, you know, trying to bring more closer racing. I mean, yeah, we want to bring the product up a little bit. You know, the viewership has dropped off. I saw a stat earlier in the week that the viewership has gone down. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it is because of the racing. I don't know. But when the playoffs start, you know, we want to see Kurt Busch and those guys go head-to-head and see who the best man win. And that's where it comes in. Kurt Busch is a former champion of the sport, and obviously that's a good transition to bring it back to Kurt Busch. But yes, the last three races for Kurt Busch, looking up here at Talladega, really, he's scored a top 10 here in the last five out of the last six races. Going into Sonoma next week, he's been on a consistent based run here, and their worst finish coming at Pocono in 19th position. EG3 show race to the playoffs, talking Kurt Busch. And right now, you know, as a whole, you know, these guys, 41 continues to, you know, put out each and every week. And again, we'll have to see how he does when, you know, we have a bye week, I think, after Indianapolis, I think, after the regular season finale. That's the next one. So definitely when we get back to cup racing, we're going to see these guys go at it here for the playoffs. And really, the spots are wide open for the taking. Kurt Busch right now is in pretty safe position right now, especially if he keeps going the way that he's been going here the last several weeks. EG3 show rolling on. That was your look at the race to the playoffs, focusing on Kurt Busch. And now switching gears to another former Roush Racing driver who reunited with his team. We'll talk about him a little bit before we close the show. But Kenta,
track in the Roush Fenway, racing number 6, taking a couple exploratory laps, his first laps of 2018.
You know what you call this? Driver orientation.
Okay.
And that's really what Matt's going through. We saw a picture, you know, shot of him shaking the wheel around. I think he's just trying to figure, okay, so I'm in this car. It's the first time I've been in a car this year. What have I got here? What am I working with? See a shot of him here.
We're through a little bit of a similar thing like this in 2016 when Dale Earnhardt Jr. needed a fill-in driver. Rick Hendrick called. And I got to tell you, and I was in a pretty fortunate situation where it was at the same team, not even though it was 88 team, not the 24 team, but I had the same guys fitting my seat into the car. So that part went very smooth. I was very comfortable. Got to spend a little bit of time in the simulator. And I went out there and laid down a pretty good lap the first time and scared myself to death. And then I never went as fast after that.
Yeah.
Matt's taking a little bit different approach. I can see him. He's definitely building up to speed.
So Matt Kenseth has been in the news this week. Obviously, that audio was from KC when he debuted at Kansas. Yes, I was there a month ago. Matt Kenseth with a dismal debut there. But there's more news coming out from that stable there. You know, we thought Matt Kenseth's schedule was set there. Of course, Matt Kenseth, you know, coming out of what sort of semi-retirement, you want to call that, because Trevor Bayne wasn't doing so hot, and the organization still, where they have been the last several years, we have called them out on this show numerously about their performance. Of course, last year, it upped its game a little bit thanks to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and its two restricted plate wins there at Talladega and Daytona. And they still want to beef up their performance a little bit. We're still talking about that. Matt Kenseth, we're not used to seeing him go four laps down. Of course, last week at Michigan, spun out, and he was pretty much done for the day. It's been kind of a rough comeback for Kenseth. But yeah, his job was to evaluate the cars at Roush Fenway Racing. This is kind of a return homecoming, if you will, if you don't know that by now. Matt Kenseth did not have a ride going into this year. He was for kind of, I don't want to really use the word, but I'm going to have to anyways, forced out of retirement because of these young guys getting the quote-unquote rides for this season. Matt Kenseth did not get a ride and was had to settle for retirement. But at some points, Some of his races this year, he might as well should have waited for a better ride or spent more time with his family. But other than that, though, Matt Kenseth, they've added 10 more races to the 2018 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series schedule for RFR. They announced it yesterday. Matt Kenseth will be back in the six for a four-week stretch that includes Kentucky, July 14th, New Hampshire on the 22nd of July, Pocono, round two, July 29th, and the road course at Watkins Glen on August 5th. And, of course, I think Kenseth, no, he was not scheduled already for Darlington. Well, he is now. Darlington, September 2nd, and, of course, the regular season finale at Indianapolis on the 9th, and he'll be back. This already was on the schedule. Dover, Martinsville in the playoffs, Phoenix, which he, dramatic, emotional win there, final win, well, at least after, for now, for kids of last year, and then Homestead, November 18th, right there. Of course, Kansas is 46 years old, and his best finish to this point so far is 13th at Pocono right there. So, you know, bring an interesting point, you know, Kenseth is brought in to evaluate the equipment, and, you know, when he was driving the debut in Kansas City, you usually see Matt Kenseth up in the top 10, or, you know, he starts the race at least either mid-pack or forward, and he moves forward, but he was in a standstill with that six race car. Wyndham, the Wyndham Rewards is a sponsor for that car, and we seen him laps down in multiple points already, but he rallied back. One of those came at Pocono. He was about to go a lap down there and somehow rallied for a top 15 finish there. So they still got a little bit of work to do overall for that team. And of course, oh, by the way, Trevor Bayne used to be in that ride. But of course, already, you know what it is. When Matt Kenseth getting more rides, that means less of an opportunity for Trevor Bayne. This brings an interesting situation here. What are they going to do? You know, Matt Kenseth now going to be in those races now. What's the deal now? When will we see Trevor Bayne back in that six car? I have no idea. I mean, we skipped around quite a bit in Matt's schedule there, so maybe there's a good chance we could see him back in there in that race car. But with the playoffs and where Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is on that sheet, he's around above. He had a rough weekend at Michigan. Then the inconsistency in performance there, it'll be interesting to see what happens there with Trevor Bayne and all that. But definitely, I'd rather keep an eye on this because they've added more races to his schedule and hopes to get that six car running in the more in the top 15 and top 10 somewhere there. And also probably brought him on in hopes to get Stenhouse back in the playoffs as well, but not like a performance like that. We know Stenhouse earlier this year, his inconsistencies wrecking race cars in practice and things like that, and had a rough time with Austin Dillon. They had an interesting exchange there with Austin Dillon. It was Dillon making the slide job move. I had mentioned this on the post-race episode of Michigan that Stenhouse made the move. It was Austin Dillon. So yeah, I was and I knew it was one of them, obviously, but didn't know exactly who did that. Austin Dillon made the dirt slide job move on Stenhouse, which Stenhouse did it to Chase Elliott, which I talked about on the post race episode also. So I just don't know what it is about, you know, people, drivers getting ticked off about getting slide jobbed on, but whatever. But the main thing is, thanks for tuning in tonight for the EG3 show, Race to the Playoffs. We talked about Kurt Busch. Now wrap up this episode here with the news of Matt Kenseth adding more races to the schedule by Roush Fenway Racing officials. You know, interesting thing, you know, Matt, I don't think he's going to, obviously not qualify for playoffs, but it would be sort of an upset if Kenseth would go to victory lane at some point in these races. You know, he's won at several of these racetracks. Phoenix, to name one, and Dover, he's won there as well. So you, with these selected tracks, you hope to get the performance out of that race car more, a bit more efficient and more consistent. And we don't even know what the situation is for that sixth car going forward, even after for this year. So Kenseth isn't getting any younger, that's for sure. And will Roush get Trevor Bayne out of the doghouse? That's the question now moving forward when we get cars back on the racetrack next week. Will Trevor Bayne be out of that doghouse by Roush? I mean, that doghouse might be seeming a little harsh there, but that's kind of what it is, because, you know, Bayne, out of all these years, he's been with Roush for, we have seen, you know, little bits here and there, but he's been, like, stuck right there. He and Stenhouse been stuck right there. And Stenhouse, he's been a little bit better. I mean, he's gotten to the point where he's one of the best, all of a sudden, one of the best plate races in all of NASCAR for one year. Yes, and that's kind of carried in this year a little bit with Stenhouse. So Stenhouse got some confidence there for him. But outside of that, outside of Bristol and plate racing, and maybe Kansas, he's been consistent there a little bit. In Atlanta, those worn out racetracks. But outside of those tracks, he ain't done nothing. He ain't done much, in my opinion. So it'll be interesting, you know, Matt Kenseth trying to help his organization, and mainly, from what I think, trying to get Stenhouse back in there with more consistency, because, you know, when you get in the playoffs, you're 3-and-done. If you can't perform, or especially when you're in, that's an easy solution for anybody. But you don't have the race cars to go up there and compete, especially you're in four. You're in four country where Stuart Haas Racing has been the top class of all of NASCAR this year, driving forward. Penske has been a second. They have fast cars, but not as fast as Stuart Haas Racing right now. Four, you're basically behind a curveball still. And front row, they put together with David Reagan and Michael McDowell for four. They put together some good results here, a little bit better than Roush, in my opinion. So that's saying something there. So at one point or another, this organization was the top class of all of NASCAR. And for the last several years on this podcast, we have bashed them repeatedly for their performance. And even still with Matt Kenseth at the helm, they're still a little horrible on that end. But we'll see as we get through the summer months here, as we continue next week, how that sixth car starts to rise up, or in that 17 buzz. You know, they qualify pretty well. I mean, they got the qualifying down part pretty good. At least Stenhouse does. But they don't have the whole package together yet still. Obviously, from the showing that we saw out there, Kenseth, you know, spinning out, put a damper on his day, and Stenhouse getting with adventure with Austin Dillon. And Stenhouse has had a lot of adventures this year. So we'll have to see, wait and see again, the waiting game with this combination, see what comes out of it here as we move along through the summer months. The dog days of summer, and you can make a lot of hay here. A lot of momentum, and a lot of momentum can be lost and an organization knows that for sure. Hendrick Motorsports, Chevrolet, that's another discussion we can have on another podcast, folks. Facebook.com/EG3 for the latest in what's going on in the world. And with me going on vacation here this weekend, I will try to keep you posted on Facebook, so definitely I will be harping you guys at that. Facebook.com/EG3Show. And you can listen to the EG3 Show, yes, on a multiple of podcasts. You can pretty much find it on most, like iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review. And, of course, iHeartRadio. We got Spotify and Audioboom as well. Google, yes, Apple Podcasts as well. So definitely you want to continue to check that out. If you're a current listener of the show, I would tell you to spread the word about the EG3 Show. We're going to be going AWOL here next week. I am going out west up until through next Tuesday. And then, of course, I'll be back Wednesday to record. I'll DVR the cup race, and I'll have my reaction towards that. So the post-race reaction for that week will be on Wednesday, recorded on Wednesday, not Monday like it usually is, and posted on Tuesday, but it'll be posted immediately, so it'll be probably most likely be Wednesday night. I'll get that out to you guys, but definitely I'm going AWOL for a little bit. But and up until now, though, you can still listen to new episodes, which I have one tonight, obviously, and I record another one, my stage break, tomorrow, and then that's it for me until I come back from the west side of the U.S. So there's that as well. But please, yes, yeah, spread the word. Join the movement on the EG3 Show, Audioboom, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, where you can listen to your sports podcast, folks. But definitely, and of course, yes, the road, the quest to 1,000 listeners still on the rise here. Definitely get, if you're a current listener of this show, please, please, even though I'm be gone next week, all next week, in the beginning of next week a little bit, spread the word, get people on board on this show, definitely. And we get 1,000, yes, I'll bring on a driver of my choice on this show, which I have not done an interview since last year with any driver for that matter. So definitely, I'm going to keep that a surprise. But definitely, for that to happen, I encourage you to continue to spread the word and definitely continue to listen to the EG3 Show podcast. But for right now, the garage is closed. Once again, EG3 Show. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's race to the playoffs. Kurt Busch sitting in good position right now in the top 10 right now and still searching for his first win of the season. Kurt Busch, part of that four-car lineup, which has been off the charts this year. Stewart Haas Racing, yes, it's been a year thus far of Stewart Haas Racing. But yes, Kurt Busch, thank you for listening to Race to the Postseason about Kurt Busch and Matt Kenseth adding more races to his schedule. So a little intrigue on that end. But we'll talk to you. The next time I'll be talking to you is Stage Break. Cup is off, but I definitely have something in store for you guys. A little interesting comparison. Some NASCAR media has been talking about this, and I'm going to be diving into it a little bit more on the next episode of the EG3 Show podcast. But for right now, garage is closed. We'll see you, talk to you next time on the EG3 Show podcast. 80 Degree to Third, we out.